En route to his room, he looked in at the hospital. They had left a woman nurse, an elderly Scot, and she resented being left behind. She looked up from a patient as Johnny entered.
"It's time for yourself and your shot,"
she said threateningly. Johnny knew he shouldn't have come in here. He had just wanted to see how the wounded were doing. The two fractured skull cases were lying in their beds. They seemed all right. But being Scots and left behind, they eyed him dully. The two burned anti-aircraft gunners seemed all right, but being Scots, they didn't want to be there with Edinburgh burning.
"Take off your jacket,"
snapped the nurse. Then she took the bandage off his arm and looked at the arrow wound.
"Ha,"
she said, sounding disappointed.
"It won't even leave a scar."
She made him take sulfa powder and wash it down with water. She jabbed an inch of needle into his good arm and squirted B-complex stingingly with a savage thumb. She took his temperature and counted his pulse.
"You're perfectly well."
It sounded like an indictment. Johnny had had a lot of practice in diplomacy that day. He felt sorry for these people. Jacket and helmet dangling from his hand, he said,
"I sure am glad you people stayed. I may need lots of help defending this area."
After a moment of amazement, they all came alive. They said he could count on them. And when he left, they were all chattering about what they could do and smiling. Even the nurse. With the exodus of the adult Chinese, he hadn't really expected to find Mr. Tsung, but there he was. He had laid out a blue jacket on the bed along with some other items for change. But he was bowing and bowing and bowing and beaming and beaming and beaming. With his hands tucked in his sleeves, he was going up and down like a pump. He was trying to say something, but his English wasn't up to it. And suddenly he bolted and came back with Chief Chong Wan.
"Well, at least you're here. I thought the place was near empty."
"Oh, no,"
said the chief.
"The coordinators are all gone, but we have guests, you know. The emissaries. So I'm here and the cook. There's an electrician and two anti-aircraft gunners."
He started counting off on his fingers.
"Must be a dozen people left. We do have one problem."
He saw Johnny go alert.
"It's the food. I thought we'd be feeding all these emissaries, and we got ready to fix the fanciest Chinese food you ever heard of. But they don't eat our food. So we have all this food, and nobody to eat it. Too bad."
To a people who had been pressed, starving, into the snowy mountains for centuries, it must look like quite a tragedy.
"Feed the children."
"Oh, we have. Even the dogs. But we've still got lots too much food. I tell you what we'll do. There's an empty apartment, and we'll set it up for a dining room, and we will feed you a beautiful dinner."
"I've got something to do."
"Oh, no problem. It is very stylish to eat late. The cook will be so pleased. Here."
And he made a dash outside to the hall and brought back a tray with some soup and small patties of dough and meat.
"These are... no psycho word. Between meal bites. Help us out."
Johnny laughed. If that was all the problems they had, life would be a basking in the sun. He sat down in a chair and began to eat the snack. Sung, after setting up a small table, was back to bobbing again.
"What's he bowing about?"